My name is Richard Lewis, and this is Fire, Fire Burning Bright, the second in a series of six programs about how and why we make poems. We hope to introduce you to the inspiration and excitement of poetry and the many ways we are all part of a long tradition of poets who, from the earliest of times, have sung, spoken, and written about the great concerns of our being alive.
You have to really look at something to go deeper into it. So that's what I'm saying. And Jeffrey says, just close your eyes. Then you just get an image, but you can't really go through. Yeah, you could picture it, but not go all the way through it.
I think you could go farther with your eyes closed. I mean, can you go farther with the imagination than with reality?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. You can. You're saying you can't.
Well, I think that if you're looking at the object, that you could go further into it by looking at the object, not with your eyes closed.
Yeah. I'm saying with imagination you can go, but you still have to get really that exact picture and then just picture it through and keep going.
Yeah, you have to see what's there to change and imagine it.
The voices you've just heard are a group of students at the Louis Armstrong Intermediate School in Queens, New York. They're talking about the process of poetry and the themes and ideas which poets from many different kinds of cultures and backgrounds have used for their poetry.
But for the sky, I say you should really look at it first, you know.
I'm talking about imagination while you're looking.
Jeffrey, if you have this table right in front of you, right?
This table right here. And you're looking at it. And then you can see picture different things in it, but with your eyes closed, you can't even really see that thing.
I think that you could do a lot more when you're picturing this in your mind and not looking straight at it, because the object's right there. It's telling you it wants to stay like it is.
I didn't say just staring at it and that's all. I said staring at it and going deep and not just look at what's there.
I'm not talking about the table. I'm talking about the sky up there.
I know, so am I.
You start looking. You launch. Mind takes over now. Deeper, deeper, deeper you get. Passing emptiness. It never stops. There is no end. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Even further. It never stops. There is no end.
As we start looking at the world around us, our eyes not only look at things close by, such as the shape of a flower, or the way a bird can fly, we also search for things beyond what our eyes can see. I'm sure you've had the experience of looking up at the sky and felt, as your eyes explored the immensity of space out there, a sense of the many meanings as well as the many unknowns that make up our lives. Perhaps you may have also felt the extraordinary power of your imagination to imagine worlds beyond what your eyes can see. A feeling not unlike this one, expressed in a poem by the late American poet Norma Farber.
The hatch. I found myself one day cracking the shell of the sky, peering into a place beyond mere universe. I broke from egg of here into another where, wider than worldly home I was emerging from. I breathed. I took a step. I looked around and up. I saw another lining inside a further sky.
It means one day, let's say she was sitting on, under a tree,
yes,
and she was daydreaming. And, you know, when you just awake and you just look at the sky, you just think of it as the sky. And let's say when you're daydreaming, like, you break the shell of that just covering and you go further beyond what we really see. And let's say, like, where she saw when she was really awake and looking, was the cover, and she broke the egg, and she hatched out, and she went beyond any dreams.
David speaks of daydreaming, and I suspect that one of the sources of poetry in ourselves is the way we might let our minds wander freely in the spaces of our imagining. I'm sure some of you can remember a time when you watched the clouds in the sky, and as you daydreamed, imagined these clouds becoming all sorts of exotic creatures and beings. It is quite extraordinary how the things we imagine, the way we are able to transform the things that we see with our eyes, become other things when we let our minds daydream. As the American poet Wallace Stevens said, "What we see in the mind is as real to us as what we see with the eye." Perhaps this is why it was possible for the people of ancient Ireland, who in awe of the moon at night, spoke of it as a precious stone, as well as imagining it to have a mythic history of its own.
Welcome, precious stone of the night, delight of the skies.
Precious stone of the night.
Mother of the stars.
Precious stone of the night.
Child reared by the sun.
Precious stone of the night.
Excellency of stars.
Precious stone of the night.
The coming of the night in the sky must be for us all a time of great suspense and mystery. The night sky inspires us to reflect and to imagine the life that exists in the sky.
In the daytime, you know, you have the sun and everything's all light, and you feel like the sky is just there.
Yes.
And it's totally normal. There's nothing strange about it or unusual about it. But at night, there's stars, which are like little bits of light, all in this dark background, and then you start wondering about what's out there.
William Blake, the 18th century English poet, speaks of the moon as something overseeing the night itself.
Night. The sun descending in the west, the evening star does shine. The birds are silent in their nest, and I must seek for mine. The moon, like a flower in heaven's high bower, with silent delight, sits and smiles on the night.
In Africa, the Ewe tribe see the night sky as different from the earth we live in.
The sky at night is like a big city where beasts and men abound, but never once has anyone killed a fowl or a goat, and no bear has ever killed a prey. There are no accidents, there are no losses, everything knows its way.
The night sky is perhaps most breathtaking when, on a clear night, we can see the stars. And as we watch them, the inner eye of our imagination sees them in ways that brings part of our human wonderment into play. Quite simply, we imagine how the stars got there, as well as how they seem to look to us, imaginatively, in the far-off distance of the black sky. In the ocean of the sky, wave clouds are rising, and the ship of the moon seems to be rowing along through a forest of stars. Tonight, in the sky, even the stars seem to whisper to one another. The last two poems were by the Japanese poets Hitomaro and Isa. In each, the poet imagined qualities for the stars which brought them closer to us. While we cannot physically touch the stars, we can be touched by them, by the power of language poetically expressed to give them human dimensions which are real to us.
A world, a different land, empty, open. What is it? What can it be? Light, a round yellow thing, shiny thing that disappears and becomes a man in a strange shape. It's dark, scary, quiet. A world that makes you sleepy. Six pointy dots everywhere. Can it hurt me? Does it have power? It's strange. It changes colors. What is it?
Around here, I don't get to see them much, so when I saw them down in Pennsylvania, I was very happy because the sky was clear, and I like it down there, so I was feeling happy and peaceful.
Like you said, you can't, you know, see them much around here. So when I was in South Carolina, in the summer, they're clear, and it makes you feel happy and relaxed, and you can just sigh. And sometimes it looks like the stars are forming a path that's going to a great castle of stars.
What's next?
Yes. What comes after the stars? Perhaps, again, with the imagining of our inner eye, we can create the possibility of what is there. We can travel through the landscape and skyscape of our thoughts, creating yet another universe.
Black. I'm moving, but my mind cannot. Total black. Nothing to see but black. Infinite total black. Black that is not there.
Big blue never-ending sky. Big ships flying in the sky millions of miles away. There's just no end. We wonder, how did you get so big? There's just no end, no end, no end.
Horizontal plane. Thoughts unending. Free, wild, open. Scrolling. Never returning to one place again. Waves disappear into nothingness.
The long and winding road, unexplored, and no one knows what is out there. But Christopher Christian, an explorer, is unafraid and fearless and makes his journey. Suddenly, like a flash of light, old Lady Lipschitz gives him fright. She tells him his low math scores for the term and the consequences he must suffer. The explorer ignores her and walks away and continues his never-ending journey. Nobody knows what is out there, but our hero, Christopher Christian, explorer, is bound to find out what else lies on that long and winding road.
Sophocles, the great Greek poet and dramatist who lived from 496 to 406 BC, imagines what the edge of the world might look like.
The edge of the world. Last peaks of the world, beyond all seas, wellsprings of the night, and gleam of open heaven, the old garden of the sun.
Like the Spanish poet Juan Ramón Jiménez, who said that a poem should be like a star, which is a world and looks like a diamond, Jeff has also written a shimmering lyric to daylight.
Light blue, blue, purple, red, soaring object, late crescent, black, blinking white dots, sleep, black, red, yellow, sun.
This has been Fire, Fire, Burning Bright, a co-production of the Touchstone Center and Radio Arts Productions, New York. Recording directed by Charles Potter and mixed by David Rapkin. Fire, Fire, Burning Bright was written and designed by Richard Lewis. This program was supported by the Queens College Center for the Improvement of Education in the Middle Grades, the New York Council for the Humanities, and the TDK Corporation.